We're in most of the way through Sexseika, but I want to add in a few Nafkaminos and discuss some of the very interesting different takes that people have on it. So right, we talked about Sexseika before Shavuos, and the context was the Gemara right wanted to say even if the husband claims that or suggests that he thinks that his wife was his new bride was unfaithful after they did Kiddushin. Remember, they used to do Kiddushin a year on a, you know, in general before the actual Nisuin, right? So he'd give her Kiddushin, and then a year later they'd do Nisuin and actually start living together. So if he claims Petach Batuach Matzati, right? And I suspect that she was unfaithful during in between Erusin and Nisuin, right? So when we were already legally married. So we basically say, no, it's a Sfeika. Right, because suffix goes beforehand, and even if it was afterwards, it could have been Ba'ones, right? It doesn't necessarily involve any isser on her part, and therefore misvek sveika, right? They're perfectly mutter to each other, and we can ignore his concern slash claim, right? Now the Gemara talks about shavi anaf shachaticha, the idea that you can create an isser independent of the fact, which maybe we'll have time to go into. That's the Gemara, right? And then we want to know where did this idea of Svek Sveka actually come from, right? Where do we get that? So, just a little diak we made from the riff was that, you know, who, you know, kind of like reframed it. Well, who says otherwise, right? Maybe Sveka Daraisa is Lachumra, but it's Treis Sveki Daraisa Lakula. Whoever said otherwise, right? Well, you know, with this chiddush of Sveka Daraisa Lachumra, well, why should we apply that when there are two Svekos symbols? That's like kind of the first, well, you know, who's that sort of approach. The Rajba brings up this idea of Tidlcha, oh, de had the Svek Sveka Adiv Kirov, after the Alim Hetero Yoter Mirov, then it's like powerful like Rov, and maybe even better. And that kind of led us down two parallel tracks. One is to say that Svek Sveka is actually some sort of Rov, right? It's like in a majority cases. Within that, there are two ways to look at it, right? It can be majority of practically, it's actually a rove, like 51% or more likelihood in favor of one way or the other. And that gives you a rove that allows you to be, say, hokinachar rove. Or it's not rove of probability, but it's rove of cases, right? Rove of conceptual outcomes. And that's like a different kind of perspective. Right, so not how do we look at the idea of rove? How do we look at the idea of dealing with these sorts of situations? Right, is it about you know trying to probabilistically figure out what's the most likely scenario, right? Or is it more of a legal process of determining like what you know what's the what cases are before us, you know, and then we're allowed to follow the majority of cases because. Right, we kind of have like a general kind of like legal, like the legal system is built around, right, the majority of what the normal case or the standard cases, and therefore we follow the majority of the decision, even though, right, it doesn't actually mean that probabilistically that's the most likely outcome. Okay, those are really two different approaches. And the third way to look at, right, so in Nachronin, that's usually called Rove. Rove Mikrim versus Rove I'm trying to remember what the like nomenclature I saw like around that. But it's really like is it the majority of conceptual cases, of a majority of options, or the majority in reality? Okay. Then there's a third option, which is that it's olim hetero yoter mirov. It's actually much better than rov. It's something different. Okay? And that brought us towards the like the idea that maybe there's something special about Svek Sveka that's not just a question of, oh, we as a legal, you know, policy or as like a beror get into that also, right? Even when we talk about rove, what does rove do? We'll get into that for a second now, right? When we talk about rove, what does rove do? Why do we follow the rove? What's the value? What's the power of Rove that helps us out? I kind of talked about it already a moment ago, but just like to put it into like more legal terms, more solid terms. Why should we follow the rove? Great, Sveksveka is like a rove. Great, okay. Who cares? And we know that we hoche nachar a rove in certain cases, right? But why? What's the value of rove?
I guess you have to go for it.
You only have to like refrain from doing the thing if you know that it's usser, but if it's most likely mutter, then you could probably do it, so it's fine.
Okay. What do you like? I'm gonna like latch on to you kind of threw in two different ideas, but I'm gonna latch on to what you said at the end, which like it's probably fine in probability, right? Like in general, you know, the scientists, you know, the scientists think that everything is just a probability. The theory of the strings, right? They think everything's really just you know, the quantum base, right? You know, everything's just probability in the end. Right, the idea is like essentially, okay, you can follow probability, right? Probability is a good way to figure out what actually is happening, right? So you're following the probabilities because, you know, like that's kind of just the way you deal with reality. You never really know kind of anything, right? But you can say, well, you know, the probability dictates X, Y, Z. So you can follow the probability, right? But it comes down to statistics and probability. Another way to look at it, what's your alternative? Right, but that's assuming that that's really what it is, right? How do I know that, you know, that, or what am I doing? Why do I follow the rove? Because I'm predicting that this is the correct call, right? I'm predicting that this is the state of reality. What's the alternative?
The rove makes that the state of reality.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I like that. I think that's a little more extreme of a formulation than I would go for, but I like that.
Is it possible to say that we have this like kind of default to assume that something is mutar, and like unless we have enough like of a weighted bias to look at it as usser, then we don't really concern ourselves with it?
I wouldn't really go so much into the realm of rove. I think that comes like into what our discussion about sfeikos,
mm-hmm.
right? The idea of like, when do we really have to be concerned with a suffix in the first place? Like once we're saying like, oh, we follow rove. So like what's the value of rove? Like why does rove, let's say, help you with that? So Daniel is saying that it creates like a halachic reality, essentially, right? Like the rove like says, oh, halachically, this is like, these are the halachic facts, these are the halachic realities. I'd give it us like a more balanced or less extreme formulation, which is, it's not necessarily that creates the halachic reality, although that's a very geschmack idea, but rather it just tells you what you're supposed to do. How are you supposed to act, right? We don't actually know what the reality is one way or the other, right? And I'm even willing to admit maybe that it's very possible, you know, that it's part of the 49%, right? You know, we are the 49%. Sure, there's a protest movement at some point to that extent. And actually in Israel right now, that's kind of, you know, that's exactly the protest. Right? We are the 49%. We, you know, we might be technically the miyad of the voices in the, you know, in the Knesset, but 49%, like there are still people with rights, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So we can be acknowledging that, oh, the 49% still exists, right? It's still there. And for all we know, this, let's say, piece of meat that I'm about to eat is part of the 49%. But, right, we're supposed to do in terms of how we function. Right, we're supposed to function based on the rove. It's like the halachic terminology that's developed is it a beror or is it a hanhaga? Okay, does rove tell me that this is part of the majority because of probability states that it's part of the majority? So I know that this is a piece of kosher meat when we're going out harov, or is it just a hanhaga? It says we don't actually know at all what this meat is. This meat could go either way, right? But the Torah still says that the way you should approach it, You should treat it as if it's from the majority. Okay? Even though we acknowledge that it's not. Right? This is a third, more extreme way to look at it would be to say that is, I guess this is in some sense a different formulation of, let's say, Bittul Berov. Could say Bittul Berov means that not only, it's not just that we can, maybe it's not, oh, we assume it or that we can just act that way. Maybe you can argue that Bittul Berov transforms it and says in halachic reality, it's actually now kosher. Okay? Now, I don't think we're going to get to this, so we'll actually take the opportunity. There's a machlokas, I think, between the Rush and the Rajba about, let's say I have three pieces of meat and they all fall into a mixture together. And two of them are kosher and one of them is not kosher. So it's Bittul Berov. Okay. Now, so I can eat it. Can I eat all three? Or can I eat all three at one time? What do you think?
So fun. We did this with Abigail in Cherbourg. I don't remember who said what. But there was one person who, so there was one person who was saying probability wise, you will be eating, you can't eat it in one go because you will be eating one that is not kosher. But the other one was saying in every instance at that moment, the probability at that moment is that it might or may not be kosher. So therefore it was permitted to eat it all at once.
Right. Or I would say I'd like slightly reformulate, which is one, if you could say if it's about probability, so if you eat them all at once, you're in trouble, right? Then but if you eat them separately, so you can say, well, this one probably, right, is the kosher one. And then later you're like, oh, no, this one's probably the kosher one, right? Or oh, this one's probably the kosher one, right? But if you eat them all at one go, so then you're definitely eating the non-kosher one. So you can't rely on probability when there's no probability. If, however, it's a din that it transforms it into being kosher, into being part of the rov, right? Which, like Daniel is saying, so then actually you can eat all of them at the same time because there is no non-kosher piece of meat anymore, right? They're all kosher. It was Bittul Berov. And now, right, it halachically, in halachic reality, it's kosher. Now, an even more extreme, or I think an even more extreme nafkamina of that could be, let's say you have the following. Let's say a new piece of meat falls in, right? And in order to create a majority, you need to use the now batel piece of non-kosher meat, right? Do you say kama batel, or do you say it's chazer v'neim? Do you say that as each piece falls in, once it's batel, it now becomes kosher. And now that it's kosher, it's just kosher, right? Or do you say, no, since as it builds, right, more and more, there's a higher higher probability of you getting non-kosher meat when you take a piece out of this taroves. So then at some point, once the probabilities tip the other way, it would be treif again, right? So, right, so there are different approaches to rove, which is a little bit why, getting back to our Sfeksveika issue, saying that Sfeksveika works like Rove doesn't necessarily, right, give us an ironclad approach, like what is Sfeksveika, because Rove itself, right, is a complicated topic, which might, let's say, be home to several of these ideas simultaneously. Right? There are different types of Taroves. If we were learning Taroves, we can get into this for ages about, you know, let's say it's minbimino, it's minbisheno mino. Let's say it's, is it right a taroves of lach belach or yavesh biyavesh? Is it a dry mixture where you have like pieces that are individual pieces mixed together, or it's like no, it's like a liquid that you've all mixed together and it's like physically become one entity, right? Which is both better and worse, because on one hand, the independent non-kosher entity doesn't exist anymore. On the other hand, there's no point where you're not interacting also with the non-kosher bit, right? You're interacting only with the non-kosher stuff. That's all just one big block. So it doesn't totally help us 100% understand what Sfeksveika is, but I definitely say that, right, the more that we talk about, oh, Sfeksveika is like a rove of the probability, you can say, okay, well, it's a probability thing, right? The more that we talk about Sfeksveika as a rove of cases, of, sorry, a rove of options, right? The more I would, the more I'd be inclined to see it along the lines of this idea of like the hanhaga, right? That says, this is how you should view the situation, or here's how to act in the situation without necessarily telling us anything about probabilities, right? We treat the situation as if it's. Okay, so it could be two different types of, right? Those could be two different types of, right? Of sexeka being rove, if it's rove cases or rove, yeah, cases or rove options. Fine. Okay. Right, Pnei Yoshua was very strongly in the perspective of it's rove, and his question was, what about a sfeika? Right, why does Tosfos say that if the second safek is a weak safek, it's not a safek hashakol, it's not like 50-50, you can't use it. Right, he says, look, if the first one's 50-50 and the second one is 99 to 1%, so then at the end of the day, you have 51% in favor of Heter. Right, now, if you think that it's qualitative and not quantitative, then Tosis is less of a problem. Yerachem.
Sorry, going back to seeing, if we're seeing it as in terms of probability, that makes sense if it's almost a like a just, I forget what the word is, but evidence-based case. Like, oh, like, you know, you have two pieces of meat that are kosher and you know one is kosher. This is more of, can we trust the credibility of the person? It's like, I'm not really understanding where the probability.
No, because we're saying, look, what's the likelihood? What's the probability, right, that you cheated on him?
That's
right. He's claiming that, right, she's not a basula. So we say, okay, maybe, right, what's the probability? Do we really think that it was after they got married? Right, maybe it was before, and even if it was during, could have been ones, right? So what percentage of the cases are really the cases of Znos?
Yeah, well, what's our sample size? Like, this is, it's, I don't know much about statistics, but something about this seems off. Like, it's not a reality case where we're like, oh, usually this is the outcome half the time, and this is the outcome half the time. You're saying, oh, maybe it's based on the number of cases, but I don't know what they're basing that off of. Or it's, right. Well, again, I always assumed it was
like, it's very hard to have plain. Really good statistics on almost anything, right?
Right. But
so,
I don't think that they, right.
No, so the question is, how do you come up? I mean, this is always, right? This is actually just, always an issue in statistics. How do you come up with some sort of statistical, evaluation? So you do all sorts of things, right? You take a sample size and you do some maybe dupe bootstrapping, and you do some, something mean rule, right? That like the mean should like always, right? Common mean rule, whatever. It's like should start getting to a certain pattern. Like there should be certain patterns in the data. But ultimately, like what you do is you come up with some sort of approximation for, right, what your statistical.
So we're saying that's what they did? Where the Gemara was saying, assuming that they had this data where they took a sample size of all the cases of wives who cheat and wives who don't. So I'm sure there's a lot more.
You never actually do that.
I'm now making anecdotal evidence. There are a lot more women who don't cheat.
You never actually have complete statistics of everything, right? You don't have numbers on everything that ever happened, right?
Right.
So you do is you have, right? Well, Maisa, taking a sample is not that different than anecdotal evidence, right? Just systematic anecdotal evidence, right?
So they did take a sample? That's what we're going off of? They assumed it was a sample size.
No, so we're saying like this. If you have two sfeikos and you say, look, the, mm-hmm. These two are, even if we say that these two are like relatively shakel, they're relatively evenly balanced, right? And then you have another suffix based on that, right? So you put them together. So then you have the likelihood is not that way, right? Mm-hmm. It allows us to make a judgment call that's unlikely.
If you have two elements of doubt, essentially.
Right. But it's a way to get, right? There are times where we have actual, let's say, we know an actual rove. We actually know statistically the numbers. And there are times where we don't, right? But what we can say is, well, look, you know, if we take a sample, so first we'd have to, you know, we could limit it by this way. And then we'd have to limit it again, right? So it's probably not the majority situation.
Okay, that's how we're determining what Rove is. We're determining Rove based off of the fact that we have these two SPACOs.
We're kind of saying, look, we have these two SPACOs that are relatively balanced, right? Or that could be relatively balanced. Or at least one of them. Now, exactly what the Pnei Yeshua here is saying, well, if exactly what you're asking, right? This is literally a perfect example of you're asking in one way, the Pnei Yeshua is asking in the opposite direction. You're saying, well, wait a second, this isn't such good statistics. Pnei Yeshua is saying, wait a second, statistics should work in the opposite direction, which is if you have one that's a suffix hashakel, and you have the second one, which is like a very slight suffix, so you have a 50-50 and a 90-10. So the Pnei Yeshua is saying, why is Tosos not like that? That's perfect, right? That's 60-40. Fantastic. Right? Not even. That makes no sense. That's not a 60-40. That's 95?
Wait, why would one suffix counteract the other?
55. No, because you have a suffix. You have a suffix.
Okay, 50, so one,
you have 100%. Oh, yeah. Right. You have 100%. Right. And here you have 50-50. So if these are 50-50 also, so that leaves you with 25%. Right. Let's say this one is not 50-50. It's actually 90-10. Right. So it would still end up being, this would only be what? This would be, if this was 90 and this was 10, but these two are 50-50. Says in Pnei Yeshua, I don't get it, right? There would still be, this would be only, this would be 45%, and this would, and these guys would be 55%. So it's 55% versus 45%. 55% should win. Yeah, following? Not following? No? Pnei Yeshua is bothered. We're saying, you're saying, wait a second, where are we getting these numbers from? Pnei Yeshua is saying, if we have these numbers, then Tosel says if the second suffix is a really flaky suffix, so then it shouldn't matter. Oh, sorry, Tosel says that if the second suffix is a flaky suffix, then it's not good enough. Pnei Yeshua says, of course it's good enough, right? Because that gets me 55 versus 45, which is still great. It's not as good as, you know, 75-25. But it's still Rove. So if I got Rove, I got Rove. Right? The answer is Tosus clearly doesn't see it in the same way. Right? But ultimately, Pnei Yeshua says, yeah, it's really just about establishing these numbers. So if you have a 50-50 suffix, right, where the cases are pretty much evenly distributed, and then you have another suffix on the back basis of that, then that's fantastic. Okay? Now, that's, right, kind of what the Ritva says. But again, the Ritva doesn't say it in the case of the actual probability, right? The Ritva talks about haheter matzuyot yoter d'ika shnei tzadin lehatir, right? Not because probability-wise it's more common, but it's more matzui, right? It's more legally present, right? The idea of Rove of options as opposed to practical statistics. So in order to make this call, right, there needs to be some sort of, right, evaluation of the legitimacy of the cases, right? But statistically, we don't really care so much about the statistics. Right, how do I know this? Right, because the case he gives is where he basically says, look, EF Shalat Samson, you can't really ever get anything exactly 50-50, right? But if you theoretically could, that would allow us to create fakos, because maybe you got the majority of something. And even if you didn't get the majority, if you got exactly 50-50, then it would also be fine, right? Now, if you think that it's practically, you know, almost impossible, right, and definitely improbable for there to be a perfect Efshalot Samsein 50-50 split between, on a physical level, between two things, right? If you were to, I would say, cleave this in twain, and you were to cleave it exactly in twain, right? How likely is that? The answer is very, 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 very unlikely. There's definitionally going to be some sort of slight slight imbalance between the two. But since if you were the shita who hold Efshel at Zamzim and you thought it was conceivably possible, so then the Gemara says in Erevin basically that you could have a Svek Seika, or at least Ritva saying you could have a Svek Seika. Why? Could be Suffolk that you did get, that you got Rov. And even if you didn't get Rov, maybe you got exactly 50-50. Even though, says the Ritva, we're Mode, that it's very, 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 it's totally improbable for you to actually have done 50-50. Right? So it doesn't actually change our probabilities. But since it changes the distribution of options, right, that's what matters. So yeah, so the Ritva, unlike the Pnei Yeshua, is not saying it's not a probability thing, right? It's about the majority of cases, which I think would push us in the direction of the idea that Rov, that the Rov here is more of a Hanhaga. It's something that says, okay, you know, this is the majority of cases, and therefore this is the way we should act, as opposed to telling me what the probability is. Yeah, no, maybe, perhaps, conceivable, inconceivable? And then again, okay, good. Bye. The Rambam holds kind of like cheats, right? He says, oh, Svek Daraisa is Lekula. This is actually the tzad that we were focused on much more last year, which is like, what is the nature of Suffolk? And like, why do you have to be Machmir on Svekos at all? So Rambam says, Svek Daraisa is actually Midarabanan, right? Midaraisa, it's actually fine, right? Midarabanan, we don't let you do that because, right? Then like, where do your Shmiras and Mitzvos go? Which I think is very, that's kind of like exactly like the role that the Chumash is supposed to fill, which is on a technical level, okay, right? There's no clear tzivui on this because you don't know, right? But if you were to live a life of Torah and Shmiras Halacha, then of course, right, it would be inconceivable if you could just not keep Halacha whenever there's a Safek. Because like, right, tons of time there's a Safek. Again, you could be questions of like when, if you were able to Mavarer, stuff like that, if you could find out. But the Rambam says, like, Safek Daraisa is only Darabanan. Svek Seika is a Safek Darabanan, right? And therefore, it's a Safek Darabanan Lekula. Okay. Fine. Last, penultimate. Shita, right? Rashi, Kule Hai Lo Chayishinan Denema Trechum. Right? He says, we're just not Choshesh. Right? Which I think, which the Rav had this idea that he liked a lot, which is there's no leidas hasafek. We're just nothing triggers our warning bells, right? In order, a safek says I'm worried about something, I don't know about something, and I'm concerned that, right? And when there's no leidas hasafek, right, then it's simply not something we're concerned by, right? There's no reason to be concerned, so. So it's just nothing like triggers our alarm bells. Because there's a suffix whether or not something should trigger our alarm bells. Okay. But nothing's triggered our alarm bells. And if there's no lead as a suffix, then we're just not concerned, and there's no reason to treat it as something that we have to worry about. Okay. And finally, the Shari Yosher has like an in-between shita, which is actually a lot like the Rav's idea, but slightly differently. Is that it's like midoraisa, that a suffix, it's kind of like a combination of the Rambam and the Rav. Midoraisa, a suffix is not actually aser, but there's a mitzvah or there's a din that says you can't be over on a suffix, right? Because you need to be nizhar from a case where it really is aser. What do I mean? Do you not do a suffix because you're worried for the possibility that you'll actually end up eating chelev, right, or chaz, right? Let's say you have a suffix, and there's a 50% chance that you eat pig. So if you're a gambling man, you might say, okay, I'll take those odds, right? And then we try to say, no, don't take those odds, right? Because it's too big of a risk. Or is the very fact that you're about to eat something which might be chelev or might be chazer inherently aser, or inherently problematic. Not because you're about to eat pig, but because you're putting yourself in a situation where you might eat pig, where you're not being careful about eating pig, right? Kyle's giving me a face. How's it like this?
I'm playing still trying matches. To understand Rashi. Yeah.
I hear that. Playing with matches, right? Playing with matches is dangerous. Right? Why do we not let kids play with matches? Or people play with matches? Or with pyrotechnics of any type? Right? Why is it a bad idea? Is it because we're worried that right now, that you might light the house on fire? Right? And if you don't light the house on fire, then all's well that ends well? Or is it because it's dangerous, right? It's like reckless endangerment. A good example, right? When you do something that's dangerous and could kill people, right? Is that problematic because you might actually end up killing someone? Or is it because the very fact that you're playing fast and loose with other people's lives inherently, right, morally problematic? Not just because you might actually kill someone, right? If there's a 30% chance that you can kill someone, is it a problem to do that because you might actually kill someone? Or because, like, how dare you, right, be mezalzel in Kedushas HaChayim, right, by putting, you know, people in a 30% risk of death or bodily harm, right? Those are like two different hagdaras. So the Shai Yosher says it's not that a suffix d'oraisa is usher because we're worried that you'll actually be over the isser, right? But because you have an obligation to be nizhar from isurin, right? You have an obligation to like hold the like isurei Torah in a sense of respect and awe, right? That says I will not, right? Bring myself to a situation where I might violate, right? Kind of the nafkamina is like on the back end. If you did or did not end up violating the isser, right? Let's say it turned out to have been total, you know, to be kosher meat, right? After you ate it. So according to the first approach, okay, kind of all's well that ends well. You didn't do the right thing, right? But you didn't follow the rules, but all's well that ends well. According to the Shari Yosher, you absolutely violated the rule, you know, violated an isser, right? Because even though you didn't end up eating pork, you still played fast, right? You still played fast and loose with, you know, with Isser Machalos Asuros, right? Which is inherently Asur, okay? Rabbi Safek Shal Torah Anu Mechuyavim Lihizaher Shem Nifka Begufo Shal Asur Shekpida Torah La. K'mochen Emar B'Safek Shal Safek Isser Kim Devadai Safek Isser Leika Rakaz Hara Safek. Is all wasn't after me now a Svek Sveka. Right, you're not playing fast and loose with the potential of this, sir. Right, what's the difference? If it's about the probability that you have a 30% chance of eating pig, right? So who cares if that's based on one suffix or two suffixes combined? At the end of the day, we should just care about how likely are you to eat pig and how worried are we about it, right? However, says the Shari Yoshef, it's not about that. It's about being nizhar min ha'isser. So you have an obligation of being nizhar from the suffix isser. But if it's a svek sveka, you don't have an obligation to be nizhar from being nizhar from the isser, right? That's just not a thing, right? Right? If there's like a safety, if there's no risk to somebody's life, there's a risk that you might have violated, right, one of the safety precautions, right? So then, right, I don't think we would be like, you know, be like shocked and abhorred that you like might have, right, you entered into a situation where you might have not been, you know, properly in compliance with the safety precautions. You guys are thinking like, of course you can. What are you talking about? That was all of COVID. We were like, you know, we were totally shaming people for not being properly nizhar. For the, like keeping the safety precautions. Back a good kasha. Mitzias kasha though. Fine. So right, so what do we have? We have Rov, right? The Rov Stadim and the Rov Mikrim, the percentage versus the flowchart. Safik Darabanan is really a Safik Daraisa is really an Isser Darabanan. So Svek Sveka is a Safik Isser Darabanan. Right? Svekos are Asr Midin as Hara Safik, Shari Yosher, or there's no Ledas a Safik. Okay. What's the nafkamina? So here's an interesting nafkamina. A davar sheish lo matirin, afilu be'elef lo bata. If you have something that's usur, but it will be mutter soon. Okay? Let's say something is usur because it's chadash, right? Or it's usur because it's a beitza shenolda b'yom tov, just in case, right? And it's muktza, okay? And you're not allowed to use it until the next day, okay? Because it's not muchan, whatever. So again, beginning of beitza. So a beitza shenolda b'yom tov is mutter tomorrow. So right now it's usur, you can't eat it. But tomorrow you could. Let's say it falls into 1,000 other eggs. So the Gemara says you can't eat any of them right now. Why? You have to wait till tomorrow because it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu ba'elef lo bata. So a different explanation. Let's start with Rashi. Rashi explains why. Ho'il v'yesh lo matirin l'achar zman lo yochlenu be'isra yedei bitol. Rabbi says, why use bitol if, anyway, you could just wait till tomorrow and eat it behetar gamur? Okay, so first of all, what perspective on bitol is he taking?
The probability.
Well, yeah. Okay. You could also argue.
The first thing that struck me is that he's saying bitul is like inherently tied to Isser. So I think that's pretty antithetical to like the laid out of Safek camp.
Yeah. Fair. I'm going to with Rachel's formulation. Ho v'yishlo matirin lachar zman lo yochlenu be'isser aide bitul. It sounds like it's still usur, right?
Yeah.
It's the isur is still there, right? Just bitul allows you to kind of ignore it, right? Or to eat it even though it's usur. Because, right, let's say the probability, I would say like focus on the probability and say, look, the probability is that you're not going to hit the isur, right? Or that it's not so significant. Let's say if we're talking about more of a tarovis of lach belach, where you're going to let's say, eat all of it. But look, bitul works. Bitul lets you kind of ignore the isser or assume that you're not going to eat the isser. But why get into the, you know, why get into it at all, right? Or maybe it's an haga that says like you can ignore the isser even though you know it's there, right? Like why eat the isser at all? But the cheftish of the isser is still there, right? If you could just wait till tomorrow and eat a behet or gamor and just not get into it, right? It's basically the idea is like, okay, bitul is a way for us to deal with the messiness of the life, right? It's a tool for like dealing with reality, right? And non-ideal situations, right? Because everything is kind of, you know, so much of life is complex and is a mess and, right, involves making like a judgment call between different competing factors. But if you could wait till tomorrow and have everything be fine and perfect and non-messy, right? You know, like, why clean up your room if the maid is going to come tomorrow? Not resonating as much as I expected, right? So Rashi says, "Yesh matir lachar zman lo yuchlenu be'isra'i de betol." Okay, cool. Nafkamina says the Rashba, "Pirush Rabbeinu Tam de avadaik de avadaikai the asveka." Well, it's talking about a case where it's vadai, right? Beitz shenol de biyom tov, because if it was a safek. If it was a svek sveka, then even davar sheyesh lo matirin would be mutter. Okay? V'tama why? Dish kol shehu b'svek sveka heter gamur mashvin alein. Im kein afilu l'sheyesh lo matirin nami hilkach afilu birya de lo bata lo davar shedarko limnos kol sheyesh lo svek sveka mutter l'alter. Says the Rashba, even in cases where we wouldn't apply rov, will still apply svek sveka. The svek sveka is heter gamur. Right? If you're going with the approach that svek sveka is really just rov, this is very difficult. Right? You wouldn't say something like this. Because what are you talking about? Right? Svek sveka should just be another rov. So great, it's another rov. Davar sheyesh lo matirin has a matirin, so don't use rov and wait, right? Unless, right, the answer is no, there's no leidas hasafek. Right? And svek sveka, there's just no isser. Right? It's not just that the isser is being ignored or being overcome by the rov, right? Or we're using probability to say, well, it's probably not an issue. It just doesn't exist, right? There is no leidas hasafek, right? Okay. alternative approach to this sort of issue, that of the Ran. The Ran explains Devashish Shematiran differently. The Zuchay nearly, Bitama, Shodavar, the Chazin el Rabbanan, or the Rabbi Huda, Diflugu, Mimimino, Ibata Ola. There's Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Ran and Rabbi Huda, Min Bimina. Let's say two of the same thing get mixed together. Right? Let's say you have milk from, non-kosher milk that gets mixed into kosher. Sever of Yehuda, the Hainu Taima, Bishum de Midbimino lo Batel, if you should call Davashu Dom the Chavero, Eno Machlisho Mavaklo Elama Amido, Mechazka. When I mix together some Yayin Nesach, let's say, and milk, right, and I put in a tiny bit of milk into Yayin Nesach, or no, sorry, tiny bit of Yayin Nesach into milk. When I look at this vat of milk, what do I have? It's one part wine to 10,000 parts milk. What do I have? What am I going to call this vat? It's a vat of what? It's a vat of milk. Right, it's just a vat of milk. And if it's just, so obviously, so when we look at it, wearing our human glasses, halachic glasses, any glasses that we want, right? We see a vat of milk. So it's batel, it's just a vat of milk. Right? It's not a vat of wine and milk. However, if I pour non-kosher milk into a vat of kosher milk, says the Ran, right? It's not machlisho, it's not a contradiction. There's no contradiction there, right? I look at it and I see a vat of milk, but there's no reason for me to be saying, oh, it's this type of milk versus that type of milk, right? Unless they can't mix, right? So Why could you argue? You can still argue a little bit and say, okay, great. If I have put non-kosher milk into my vat of milk, so you're saying, well, it's still a vat of milk, right? But what else can I call it? In other words, one part non-kosher milk and 10,000 parts kosher milk.
You could still call it kosher milk.
Exactly, right? You can slap New Square, Golden Flow, whatever, Wasserman's, right? Whatever, Jewish company name, Lieber's. Lieber's, is it Lieber's milk? Or is it Geisha, Krefe milk, right? So, Mikol Makom, Min Bimino de Isser Veheter, Indom in Zeleze. No, right? Says, don't just use your human glasses, says the Rabbanan. Also wear your halachic glasses, right? Kivin de Chad Aser Vechad Shari, Ein Roy, Lelech Achar Dimyonan, Beetzem El Achar Chilu Kan Beis Veheter. He says, Isser Veheter is just as big a difference as the physical difference between, right, wine and milk. Okay, now how can you apply this to Min Bimino, to Dover Shir Somatirin? What's he about to say?
Well, I'm having a hard time likening the cases because in a Min Bimino, they kind of become one entity. So it makes more sense to me. I don't know.
Min Mishayin Bimino also. Remember, you poured like a teeny bit of wine into a huge vat of milk. It's literally become one thing, right? It's just one liquid.
Right, I guess liquids in general is what I'm going for.
Right, we're talking. Let's talk liquids.
Okay.
Right. Is it, think. What is he going to say about devastation?
I don't think this is right, but maybe it's mechazek in some sense because it has like an important status from the fact that it's changing.
Okay, I think you're going to get like. you're trying to give it like too much credit. It's a little like, yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to, like, you need like physics or something, but yeah, like the fact that it's changing, like what how does that help us or hurt us in this case?
It's not just a mixture, because like, it doesn't just turn into one substance because the component in it is shifting, so you can't just treat it as one blob.
Sort of. It's sharpening. You can simplify it also.
It's not nullified by the mixture.
Yeah, but like, why not? Like, why not? You're like, it right, because it's. But like, what about it makes it not? How's it different than a case of, let's say, of like the Rabbanan said for against Rabbi Yehuda, that no, Isra v'Heter matters, right? So the fact that one's Heter, one's Mutter, is a good enough reason for us to be Mechali.
Because it's not going to stay Asr.
Right, and therefore what?
The type of Bitul is going to change.
So I think it's like a little bit, it's so gishmack.
I'm handing it off to you.
No, you're right. Like, you guys, you're like, you're getting to it, but it's just, when you think of it, just like, it's like a perfect, like, oh, yeah, back. Right? It says, Kol shechalukin b'isr v'heter, filu mimimino batil, d'havile kimin b'she'eno mino, shum hachi amrino davar sheish l'matirin, natu rabbanan mishum chumad Rabbi Yehuda, d'kivan she'in davar zeh chalak min ha'heter l'gamri b'isr v'heter, there's no clash, he says, right? They're the same min, and they're the same Yisr V'Heter status. One of them's Usr now, right? And one of them is Mutter now, as opposed, but right? He says, yeah, but tomorrow they'll both be Mutter, right? Is that really enough to say that there's a clash between the two of them, right? Is there a clash between something that's mutter tomorrow, right, and something that's mutter today? Right? Maybe. I don't know. But not necessarily, right? You can put the Lieber's label on both of them. They can both be golden flow milk. Right? If it's a pot, is it a vat of milk or is it not a vat of milk? It's a vat of milk. Great. Is it a kosher vat of milk or a non-kosher vat of milk? Or is it a mixture of kosher and non-kosher milk? The answer is totally a vat of kosher milk. Right? And the mashgiach can already put his, you know, put his stamp on it. He just got to wait. He can't ship it till tomorrow. By the way, the kosher milks wait a few days before they ship it, and that's why they just don't seem to last as long as, like, non-Chalav Yisrael milk, because they just leave it outside in these vats waiting for it to be, you know, for the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin to kick in. Right? It's going. So he says, Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, right, there's no clash because it's the meaning don't clash, right? And the Isra v'Heter don't clash because they're just both Heter, right? One's Mutter now, and one's Mutter tomorrow. So tomorrow they'll both be Mutter, right? Okay. What about Svek Sveka? Let's say it's a Svek Sveka. All right. So again, so if we want to say, oh, is there a clash? Is there no clash? So you could say, well, there's, right? Is there a clash? Maybe, right? But if there's no, if you hold Zidin of Rove, you can say, well, again, right? Rove might tell me that I should be Mevatel and say that's fine. But there's no clash, right? If you, though, hold that it's a din in no leidas hasafik, so then, well, there's no leidas hasafik, right? So there's also no clash because there's never Esser in the first place, right? We don't need Bittul because we were never Masipik in the first place, right? I mean, if you look at Sveksveika as a way to solve the problem, right? Something like Rove, it's a solution, right? So then, let's say it was, right, like the Rambam, Safik Daraisa La Kula, Midarbana and Safik Daraisa La Chumra, and Safik Darabana La Kula, and Sveksveika is a Safik Issa Darabana, right? Because the Safik Daraisa itself is Darabana. So then, you can say, okay, this is a Safik Darabana, right? But in a case of Devashesh Matirin, so then maybe we'll say, no, Devashesh Matirin, you have to wait till tomorrow, right? Even by Safik Darabana. But if you hold there's no latest Safik, so we're just not Masipak at all. So then even in a case of Sveksveika, there's no problem. Okay? Last Nafkumina, of the Shach. The Shach has a lot to say about Sveksveika. And he says, that a Sveksveika, she'eno mitapech, eno Sveksveika. A Sveksveika, where you can't flip it around, isn't a Sveksveika. It doesn't count as a Sveksveika. Okay, why? Hadimion matzah has, hadimion, here's a, like, for example, imagine the following. Matzah hasakin pagum lachar shchita, diyesh Sveksveika. Shema be'etzem hamafreket nifka. Maybe it got pagum during the shchita itself, at the end. Okay, you can't make this flip it. But you can't basically do the following. You can't say maybe it got nicked. Right on the spine bone or whatever it is, and if not, maybe it got nicked only at the very end, because you can't flip that the other way. The shnehem in chashash iser v'akol chadu, right? It's the same suffix, right? It's the suffix shema. It got pagum before the shechita was kasher, or maybe it got pagum after the shechita was kasher, right? So the ability to flip around the Safik and say, okay, well, if you can't do it the other way, so then it's not really a Sveksveika, because they're not two independent Sveikos, right? They're really just kind of piling up like options of saying, well, maybe not. You know, there's, that's the Marit? I'm trying to remember who argues with this. Not everyone agrees to this cloud. Okay, so this is the Shach. It's like a huge proponent of the idea. Sveksveika, the two Sveikos have to be separate. They have to be two independent Sveikos, right? That are not connected to each other. They can't just be two names for the same thing, right? And that comes into like a lot of different areas. There's like a famous Nafkamina, let's say, for Chadash. Yes, exactly. Get to that second. So there's a huge question, like Nafkaminas to this. But yeah, if you think that Sveksveika is like Midin Rove, so then the ability to reverse it, right, isn't necessarily very relevant. If it gets you the Rove, it gets you the Rove, right? And that should be good enough. If you think it's Rove cases, so then I'd say that it already becomes more relevant, because you can't really have Rove case, Rove of the flowchart, if it's only conceivable on one side of the flowchart. Yeah, can we get that? Right, if I say it's Rove of the cases, right, in terms of like conceptual options, sorry, more conceptual options. If it's the Rove of the conceptual options, of the actual options in the flowchart, so again, if you can't flip the Hakira, if you can't flip the order, if you can't flip the order, that still could work, as long as each one fits as an option in the previous nesting level, right? If you have suffix A, and then you have like, oh, and within suffix B, you have another suffix, so I can still give you the majority of cases, even if you can't flip the order, right? Even if B couldn't come before A. Yeah? But if it's a din in leda sa suffix, that's to say, I have a suffix about whether or not I even have a suffix here, So then this makes perfect sense, right? Because what you need to have a suffix A. Suffix, whether or not you have suffix B. If suffix A and B are inherently linked, right? Or if you've just, it's good enough to have suffix B and you're besuffic, so then they're not independent. And then you actually just have one suffix, right? Shnehim in chashash iser, v'hakol echad hu. Right? If I have a suffix, is it asur, is it mutter, right? Is it a treifa, is it not a treifa? So coming up with different ways for it to be a treifa is still the same suffix. Right? I just have one suffix. So was the knife nicked or was it not nicked? I don't know. Right? I see the knife is nicked. I don't know if it was nicked before or not. So now I have a suffix. Right? Even if I could come up with lots of different cases where maybe it was nicked, but it's still okay, then I still don't know, and I still have a suffix about whether or not it was nicked. If it's about late as a suffix, so I need to say, okay, I have two totally independent sfeikos, and because of that, I have a suffix about whether or not I should even have a suffix at all. All right, and the Shach just has a lot of rules, which I was thinking of going through some of, but we're not, because we're out of time, of exactly how that all, right, how you need to, what cases count as a sfeika, and the Shach is very, very limiting on like what counts as a genuine sfeika, right? Because there's a lot of cases, he's gonna say, well, they're really just one sfeik, right? They're mishem echad, right? You have to, if the sfeika is just two questions about the same iser or the same concern, so then it's really just one sfeik, right? It's two cases of the same sfeik. And again, if we think it's more about the number of options or the number of the probabilities, so the fact that they're all coming from the same conceptual place, right, shouldn't necessarily matter. I have the same iser, right, or same shame. Sekseika b'shem echad. So the Shach says you can't have a sekseika b'shem echad because then you're still just worried about that one shame, that one iser, right? It needs to be based on multiple shemes. It needs to be mishapech. It needs to be something that you could separate between the two sfeikos. If you think it's more about probability, it's more about, right, the flow chart, right? So then possibly, definitely if you think it's about probabilities, then we don't really care, right? As long as we get our numbers, as we saw in the Bnei Yeshua. Okay, so those are the two, I'd say two big nafkaminas that, I'm sure there are lots of others. Also, could you use it for like Psak Halacha? Right, the suffix can help you, like in terms of suffix in machlokes, say, you know, haposkim, could theoretically be like a nafkamina of that as well. Right, if you think that suffix is like there's no late as a suffix, we're just not concerned, right? So then it will be much more powerful when it comes to like practical chashashos of iser, right? Because we're just not choshesh. It would work even in a case of davashish matirin. It would work. You know, it would work like a kind of across the board because we never even got into the issue in the first place. On the other hand, right, you would probably need the sfeika to really be kind of independent of each other. It has to be like two totally separate sfeikos. On the flip side, if it's about rove, right, so then you can be much more lenient on what counts as a sfeika, right, as long as you get your numbers. But on the other hand, it's not going to help you in Dever Shish L'Matirin, right? But it will potentially help you in let's say, maybe in like Psak Halacha, because you could say, well, right, I get like a majority of Hochen Achar Rov, maybe it could be applicable also to Psak Halacha as well. Okay, fine. So we'll stop here. Shukarach. And I'll have to start thinking about when, how far in the year we should continue.